God for the saints. Thank you, Lord, for other people who believe like I do. I'm not crazy. I'm either called or crazy. Guess what? Other people are called. You're not the only one. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Almost back to real time now. As you know, I just had a wonderful weekend. Well, you didn't know it was wonderful, so that's why I'm telling you that you just knew that I had a weekend. But it was a wonderful weekend in Springfield, Missouri. Now, I'm not wearing my sunglasses because, look, I'm not wearing my sunglasses. The sty is still there. See, it's just an unsightly bulbous lump now, but it's not as unsightly as it was. Cover it with a little makeup, we're good to go. I know everybody's been anxious about that, but I got back yesterday from Springfield, Missouri, and I report to you, I suspected as much, but all my suspicions were confirmed, that here in Springfield, Missouri is a thriving ecclesia. A regular ecclesia of five people, count them five, five's the number of grace, who meet, sometimes six, maybe seven, the number of perfection, who meet every Sunday morning, but who this weekend invited me to join them. I invited my audience, and on Saturday, there were 19 people who showed up in Javier and Robin Saltares' living room, and we had an amazing time of fellowship and sharing the truth with one another. And I tell this to you, because I said it to them. I said to them, you've heard me say this to you, I know more people in the body of Christ just by myself than you know in your world. And you tend to think that you're alone and that nobody else believes this truth. Everybody at that meeting felt the same way. But for one Saturday in December, they gathered in Springfield, Missouri, and shared their faith. I shared with them, they shared with me, and faith is alive and well. Yes, we are scattered, but be encouraged to know that not only did 19 people gather on Saturday, but there is a regular ecclesia there of hardcore students who love the Word of God, who meet every Sunday whenever they can, really opportunely and inopportunely. Even when it doesn't quite work out, they get together, even if it's only two of them, and they talk about the Word of God. I was met at the airport by Javier, who now is known affectionately by me as Harv, and his wife Robin, and Rick, their friend Rick. They've been friends for a long time. This is kind of the core group, the Holy Trinity, if you will. Harv, Robin, and Rick, who the brain trust got me to Springfield. They met me at the airport, and it was love at first sight. Love at first sight. And I'm grateful to them for opening their home to this meeting. People are always concerned how it's going to go. It's a new thing. They've never done this before. What if people, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What if people don't like it? What if people don't show up? Well, if you build it, they will come. And they did. And here's what was the greatest thing to me, is that after I spoke to the assemblage there, every single person there shared their testimony, many with tears. And I think that wherever these folks came from, some came from St. Louis, some came from Kansas City, there was a couple there from Texas, when they shared their testimony, they did it in an environment non-condemning, not only that, but accepting and loving. And we couldn't wait to hear what people had to say about their walk, their journey in this truth. And that's what I love. I love to hear people's stories. And these people, you know this, you don't get this kind of thing where you are, because a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, meaning that with familiarity comes contempt, and many of you are contemptible to your contemporaries in your zip code. Who are you who think you have this great information? But when we come together as a body, there is a meeting of the minds, and there is a instant knowing of each other. It's a bond deeper than blood, because it's of the Spirit, and we talked about this too. And if I had to line up, if I had to take all my blessings, and if I were to line up, say, a series of mules, let's just say pack mules, for some reason I'm just thinking about mules, and I had to load all the blessings I got from this weekend on a mule. It would probably take at least a dozen mules to carry the load, the burden of the blessings that I received here. Oh, on Saturday at the meeting, there were 11 bottles of wine. And somebody walked into the meeting, looked at the counter, saw these 11 bottles of wine and said, well, this is going to be a fun meeting. And it was. What does wine speak of? Joy. Wine speaks of celebration. Wine speaks of the Spirit of God. And there was happiness and there was joy there. And it was brief, terribly brief, hard to come home, right, after a time like that. But I'm thankful for it. So I thank these folks who, I want to mention just one other person, because if I start trying to mention people, I'm going to leave out somebody. You know, my mind doesn't work this way. But there was a gentleman there who I've known his name for 20 years. He was an early supporter of the work way back when I launched my first newsletter back in 1994. His name was Roger Oliphant. And I've known this name for so many years. And I finally met this man, and we just kind of looked at each other, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's Roger Oliphant. And he looked at me and said, oh my gosh, that's Martin Zender. And we just embraced, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship. And so the trend is going to continue this weekend in Indianapolis, so it's not too late to come to that meeting. Andy May is the contact. C-A-M-A-Y, CamA222@yahoo.com. And I'd love to see you in Indianapolis. So thank you to everyone who has supported the work and who supported the work there, who gave me emotional support. A pat on the back, an attaboy, Martin, which is so vital to all of us. The body of Christ is alive and well. That I want you to know. Now, the seventh trumpet, you know that I've talked about this before. But again, if A. Enoch brings it up again in his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, I'm going to bring it up again, because this is vitally important, because you are hearing contradictory information about the seventh trumpet here in the Unveiling chapter 11. You are being told that the seventh trumpet is the same thing as the last trump that Paul speaks of, our apostle, not a circumcision apostle, not a revelation apostle. He goes beyond the book of Revelation, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he mentions the last trump. And people are telling you that the last trump is the same as the seventh trump. And they're telling you that somehow they're robbing you of your expectation, which is to be snatched away together with the Lord at the last trump. Oh, trump, here's a seventh trump. This is the seventh trump. Paul talks about a last trump. So just because we're hearing the word trump, it means that this is the same event. This is despicable to me. This is very careless scholarship, as if the same word means the same thing. Did you know that Satan and Christ are both called a lion? Jesus Christ is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan walks about as a roaring lion. Oh, that's where the word lion is used. So they must be talking about, Scripture must be talking about the same being. No. Likewise, just because you see the word trumpet, don't hyperventilate and think that we're talking about the same event, because we're not. Many people see the white horse rider in the early chapters of the unveiling. Oh, white horse must be Christ. We talked about this at the Bible study in Springfield on Sunday. Oh, by the way, you have to look up Javier Soteris. Google this guy. He is a nationally renowned, world-renowned illustrator. Used to work for Marvel Comics. He's responsible for the Ghost Rider character, the remake of Ghost Rider. And he's gotten street cred out there in the comic book world. Look him up. He's quite a talent. And I will give you this little hint. He and I, he may be working on a project together. I'll just give you that little tidbit. Tasty morsel. Javier Garver. It's pronounced with an H. I don't know why the Puerto Ricans, the Spanish people, even the Portuguese, they take that J and they make it into an H. I don't know why that is. Javier Salteres. Look him up. Quite a talented man. But above and beyond This man loves the scripture. And that's where we fellowship. So they see a white horse and they think this is Christ. And we talked about this on Sunday. And we know that Satan is an imitator. So you have to be very discerning and discriminating here when you see words that are similar. And, oh, I got to say one more thing. These things keep coming to me as I'll get back into the flow here. Only to get out of the flow. I keep these shows coming, folks, even though I'm on a crazy schedule right now. Going to leave in a couple days for Indianapolis. What was I going to say? I completely forgot what I was going to say. Good. Oh, yeah, somebody wrote me. And they said, Martin, I quit listening to your Revelation series after 200 shows. It's too long. How long is this crazy series going to go? You're only halfway through the unveiling. You're on coming up on show 300. It's going to be 600 shows long. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I announced this beforehand. I told you what this was going to be. This was not going to be merely a verse-by-verse dissection of the unveiling, and it has been that. You got to give me that. It's been verse by verse, but it's also a conversation that you and I are having. Not only that, but I told you I would never let you lose sight of Paul's evangel. So as I go here, I take regular breaks in that but when I say breaks, I don't leave you alone. I'm still talking to you, but I'm telling you about the contrast, and I'm doing it again here. The contrast between the seventh trumpet of the unveiling, chapter 11, and the last trump of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm doing that to never let you forget that our evangel is different. I don't want just to pay attention to the details of the unveiling and just tick those off to you, fact after fact after fact after fact. If I did that, sure, I may have been done with this a couple months ago, 3 months ago. But this is an ongoing conversation. To me, this is more than relaying a verse-by-verse exposition to you. This is fellowship. This is a conversation that you and I were having. One man at the fellowship in Missouri told me this. He says, I love listening to you every morning drinking my coffee. And I know many of you, and I'm honestly the same way, are loath to see it come to an end. I don't want it to come to an end either. So why is somebody upset that I quit after 200 shows? Well, then, is it the fellowship you don't want? You just want the information? I don't know. I can't blame anybody. That's fine. That's an opinion. But for me, I'm enjoying the fellowship. I'm enjoying the camaraderie that we have. And I'm enjoying the discussions, even the side trails, the rabbit trails. You're concerned about my eye, whatever. I'm concerned about you. I want to hear about how you're doing. Write me. Tell me what you think about this. The Revelation series, is it going on too long? Do you want me to be more nose to the grindstone, stick to the facts? We don't care about the fellowship? I don't know. I think generally what I'm hearing from you is you like the side trails. You like me talking to you. And you like the fellowship we have every morning. It's a little loose. We are going through the unveiling. Yes, we're taking our time, but I feel that every show, no matter what we talk about, you and I, is divinely inspired. Does that mean that there's no flesh in it, that somehow my flesh doesn't creep in here? Of course not, because I've been nothing if not myself with you. That's all I can be. And I talk to you about what's interesting to me, at the same time never forgetting that I am doing a series on the revelation, on the unveiling of Jesus Christ. So, of course, I appreciate your input. I'm going to listen to you. Am I going to go with the majority vote? No, I'm not. I'm going to do what the Spirit of God is telling me to do. I appreciate every one of you out there who loved me and who loved this show. I love you too. And the show goes on. In spite of all my traveling, in spite of whatever I'm going through. So I'm going to continue on this theme just for a couple days of the seventh trumpet and why this is a distinct event. Many, many differences. Of course, there is a similarity. It's a trumpet. But there are also many differences. And I would never want you to confuse the judgments coming on this earth with your expectation. You are not appointed to wrath. you're not appointed to judgment. You are to be rescued out of indignation, not at the seventh trump blown by a messenger, but by the last trump blown by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself.